Hi, I'm Marie Crowe and welcome back to Green Ball, the Irish cricket podcast show. In this episode, we'll be looking forward to the first international series of the summer, where the Ireland women's team will take on South Africa in three T20 internationals and three ODIs. Our panel of experts will discuss the series, the squad selected and what to expect from the opposition. I'll also be talking to the senior member of the squad, Shauna Kavanagh, moments before she goes into camp ahead of the series. We will discuss all of the action from the recent IP20 festival in Cumber, after which Munster Reds are the only unbeaten side so far. So let's get on with the show and introduce you to the panel for today. I'm delighted to be joined by Isabel Joyce and Andrew Blair-White. Thank you both for joining us. We have so much to look forward to. We are on the eve, Isabel, of the Women's Series. It's such an exciting time. South Africa coming into town and just having the women's game fully in the focus of everybody.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's the first time we've had South Africa in Ireland in 6 years, and they've come on leaps and bounds in the intervening period. So I'm sure the girls will be really excited to see where they measure up. South Africa are missing some players, which, you know, you can't help but be a bit relieved, I suppose, thinking that they're going to have to bring in some new players of their own. So like world-class players like Martin Kapp and Lizelle Lee and Sanalo Jafta are out. So, you know, just means that you don't have to worry as much about those really, really important players for South Africa. And maybe gives you a little bit of a thought that Ireland could do really well in this series.
Andrew, it's a bit like the Irish squad, though, when there are big name players absent for whatever reason, it does give opportunities for others to step up, and I'm sure that'll be the case with South Africa as well.
Yeah, very much so, and I think they'll be looking at some of those more experienced players, like Ireland will, to really lead the way, and they still have an awful lot of very good players still coming over. You look at Laura Wolvart, probably one of the best opening batters in the game. Same with Ishmael opening the bowling. So they've still got a very strong team coming over. It's going to be a test for this Irish side. I suspect, given the squad that South Africa are bringing over, you can't help but feel that if the Irish squad was potentially at full strength, it would be a really, really interesting series, because that's it would be a very fair barometer of where they are. But the Irish side themselves have people out injured. They have a couple of girls missing with exams through the Leaving Cert and college exams. So both teams are probably down a few and will be really, really anxious that those senior players step up and show themselves off to the best of their ability.
Isabel, you've obviously been there in squads so often. When you are missing as many as eight, how difficult is that for the squad, for the manager, for the coaches, for everybody?
Yeah, it's really hard. I think what stands to this Irish squad is that there isn't necessarily a settled team. And that sounds strange, but we would have gone long periods of time with the same kind of 11 or 12 playing. And then if you had six or seven missing because maybe there were too many tournaments and people had to, you know, do their jobs at home or you know, they had to spend time in school or college, you could easily have like a full new team. Whereas with this Irish squad, there's a squad of 20. And apart from bringing in Arlene Kelly, which I'm sure we'll touch on later, and I think Alana Dalzell's not in the performance squad, the rest of them are in the performance squad that are actually selected. So they're a group that works together all the time. So it's not like they're bringing in people who have no idea how everything works, which would have definitely happened in the past. So that's a massive bonus. And all of these players have been playing together on the Arica Super Series teams as well. So it wasn't clear what the team was going to be, if they had everyone available. Obviously, some of those players, if they were available, would have been picked, the likes of Orla Prendergast, Emma Richardson and Laura Delaney, just to name a few. But outside of that, there, you know, who knows out of this group which ones would have been in and which ones would have been out. So it's an important series for some of these players to try and stamp their authority on the team and say they deserve to be in the mix. In particular, I'm looking at the likes of Rachel Delaney, who seems to be Ireland's forgotten woman, always seems to get left out. So hopefully she's not feeling the pressure, but this could be a brilliant opportunity for her to show that she belongs at this level.
Are we seeing, Andrew, the progress being made already from the players having that opportunity to fulfil their potential by being professional players?
Yeah, I think we're seeing the start of that and the hallmarks of that. I think the Super Series this year has been brilliant so far. I think the standard has been much improved. The fact that you can now have three teams in the competition and all three teams are very good and the games are being very competitive. as you say, as Isabel would know, the step up from that into international level is a different beast, and that's where they're going to be tested in this series, and it's an opportunity, and I think the players have to treat it as an opportunity. They can't be daunted by the task. Sometimes that can happen in any level of cricket, you know, that you come up against a team that have just been in the semi-finals of the Cricket World Cup. They're second in the ODI rankings, fifth in the T20 rankings, and you can be a little bit kind of in awe of them. And I think the only way this Irish team can approach it, and I think it's the way they will approach it as well, is to just see it as a home series in front of good crowds, I suspect, down in Pembroke Friday night. It's going to be buzzing down there. Then you've got a few one-day internationals in Clontarf, both lovely grounds that can fill a bit of atmosphere as well. And I think there'll be a lot of people behind the girls, and fingers crossed they can live up to that.
Izzy, we're talking about just players getting opportunities, but it's also a massive opportunity for Gabby Lewis as well, captaining the side. And she's in such great form, 100 for the Scorchers on the weekend. And you can't just imagine, you can't but imagine just how suited she's going to be to this role.
Yeah, she's a born leader, Gabby. And what I mean by that is her work ethic, how she goes about things, how she communicates, how much pressure she puts on herself to do the job for the team. Those are all things that she just brings naturally. And I think it's a great opportunity for her to captain without the kind of pressure of being captain forever. What I mean by that is she knows she can go through this series and look at it at the end, and then probably, hopefully, we'll have Laura coming back, and then she can take, you know, whatever amount of time it is that Laura stays in the role, or, you know, maybe it'll be for a good long time. But she can take that time, or whatever intervening time there is before she maybe has to do another series, to look at how she went, how she wants to improve, and what kind of leader she is. And sometimes you have to see what it's like before you can figure out what you need to learn. So, yeah, it's an exciting but kind of carefree time for her to be captain.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, Andrew, isn't it? It's like, you know, this isn't just the only opportunity she's going to get. So there isn't a massive amount of pressure on her either. Like, she will be able to take the learnings from it.
Yes, definitely. And I think the fact that it's in a series that they are underdogs in, and really kind of success would be any sort of victory, that you can approach it in a very optimistic way, you can in a carefree way. I mentioned on the podcast last week about her kind of desire to score runs, and that was evident on Sunday again down in Oak Hill. She's got this ability to stay in for long periods of time, and as much as at the forefront of her mind will be the success of the team, I'm sure she's looking at this series personally and going, this is a great chance to show myself on a world stage. We've seen her go over and play in the hundreds and play over a bit of county cricket over in England as well, and she'll want to put herself in that shop window to potentially get a full contract in the 100 this year. And the way you do that, obviously, is scoring runs against one of the best teams in the world.
Yeah, for sure. And look, all eyes will be on her, but they're going to need more than her as well, Isabel, and I think it's going to be a chance for the likes of Leah Paul and Shauna Kavanagh just to show how much their experience, even though Leah Paul is quite young, their experience is needed, and just the benefit and the value of it.
Yeah, it's huge for both of those players. Leah Paul, I always say it, but she has the ability to bat for a long time, so I think they'll be looking to her in the 50 over series, and then Shauna in both series in the middle order, probably upper middle order, to score a lot of runs. It's usually the batting that people get more nervous about when you're missing experience. So those two, along with Rachel Delaney and, of course, Gabby, will be huge for the team. Mary Waldron's the other one that we haven't mentioned. She's batted everywhere in the order. She's in absolutely unbelievable form this year and looks $1 million, but hasn't quite scored the runs probably in Super Series that the Typhoons have needed her to. But yeah, massive opportunities for them, and particularly probably Mary, because she probably would typically be down the order if we had our full squad out. So she wants to maybe put a few doubts in minds about her moving back down the order. So yeah, it's those players. And then, of course, we've four people who could get their debut caps. Sarah Forbes has been really good this year. She's kind of slowly gone about her work, and you know, she's someone that players in YMCA have talked about for a long time, but probably outside of YM wasn't recognised as one of the forefront players coming through. So a huge opportunity for her. And Kate McAvoy has really blossomed under Ed. She just seems to enjoy her cricket so much, and she's really growing into her role as an opening bowler for the Typhoons. Sorry, for the Dragons. I'm excited to see Arlene Kelly. Of course, she seems really like a really lovely girl. And she's kind of been thrown in at the deep end. And Alana Dalzell's come out of nowhere as well, because she wasn't in the performance squad this winter and would have been disappointed by that. And she's bounced back and forced her way in.
It will be quite interesting to see Arlene, Andrew, just given the fact, as Izzy said there, you know, it's kind of came out of nowhere. Like, it's been a bit of a whirlwind. She was hoping at some stage to make an impression at international level. I don't think she thought it would come so quickly. But just even given her age profile, 28, when you're looking for players of with experience, she's almost ready made.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a great opportunity for her, as you mentioned there. I don't think anyone expected it to be maybe this quick. We've seen very little of her as a result. We have a very small sample size of knowledge to go on. But she was fantastic up in Lisburn in the Dragons' first game, or second game, should I say, where she scored 60 with the bat. She looked to be a more than handy middle-order batter and could, you know, probably clear the ropes as well. And then a very steady bowler. She seems to know her game very well. And that's something that this Irish team will need, especially in the one-day internationals in this series. You know, there's 50 overs to be bowled, and when you don't have the likes of Orla Prendergast, Laura Delaney, you're probably losing 20 overs of the 50 you're banking on. So they need to be filled, and the fact that Arlene can probably come in and do a very good job swinging the ball back into the right-hander could be very influential. As with Kate McAvoy, I'm sure she'll get a chance in this series as well, bring the ball back into the right-hander. She's a very good bowler. She's got very good natural assets to be a good bowler as well, and it's great to see her getting that opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot to look forward to there. Now, a little bit earlier, I caught up with current Ireland women's international Shauna Kavanagh, and I started by asking her what was she expecting from camp?
Yeah, so we head into camp today at lunchtime. I think we're in for about 2 weeks, and we're staying in the Sandymount Hotel. So generally, when you go into camp, it's just, I suppose, obviously you're playing, you're training, but there's quite a lot of additional stuff involved in a series, whether that's analysis, team meetings, monitoring, keeping up your strength and conditioning work. And I suppose just looking after yourself as well. That's the benefits of staying, I suppose, with a group in a hotel. You kind of are given the right resources to be able to look after yourself well. So it's not just the playing and training that everyone sees. There is quite a lot involved when you go into camp.
And what's it like being in that environment? Because you go from like living your life as like normally as most people to quite an intense few weeks.
Yeah, no, it is. And you're right. It is an intense few weeks. I think, I suppose the first couple of times you may be involved in a squad, or I suppose some of the younger girls are coming through, it can be quite a shock to the system because it is intense. I think I've obviously been around for a long time, so I know exactly what I'm getting. So I suppose I don't find it too intense in that you're well prepared and you know what you're going into. But it can be, I suppose, particularly for longer tours now, you know, this one's obviously only 2 weeks, but for longer tours, it can be quite grueling at times. But I think the support staff that we have kind of worked out a system that works. And I think it works well for everyone. And we're not kind of, it's not too intense, and you get breaks at the right times. So you're not kind of overworked or burned out.
Yeah. It must be nice to be at home as well, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we haven't had a home series, I think, since 2019. So I love playing at home. And we're playing in Pembroke, my home ground. So I'm delighted about that. But yeah, no, it's really nice to be able to play at home, because I suppose you can also, you have the luxury of, you know, leaving the camp if you need to. You know, as I said earlier, it can be really intense and cricket can be a tough sport. So sometimes you just need to be able to get out of that environment and go home to your family or to your friends, or even just, I suppose, get some time on your own. So whether that's, you know, walking down the road to get a coffee. So I think it's quite nice to be at home. You know your surroundings, everything is familiar. So that's definitely an added bonus.
So playing in your home ground, what's that like?
Amazing. I've only played once in my home ground for Ireland, and that was in 2019. But you know, it's really special. I think, you know, particularly in Ireland, you grow up, a lot of people who were in cricket would grow up in the sport. And, you know, I spent my childhoods and my life playing cricket down in Pembroke. So to be able to now play in an Irish jersey in Pembroke is incredible. And it's also, I think it's brilliant for, I suppose, not just young girls, but young guys as well, to see you know, Irish women's cricket in Pembroke. It's amazing.
So you'll be getting loads of support.
I hope so.
It is serious, though, as well, because it's your first time in the women's championships. What's that mean for you, just for somebody who has been around a little while?
Yeah, I suppose I haven't thought about it too much, in that you don't want to put too much emphasis on the fact that it is the championship and that there are points in offer. But it's huge in the context of Irish women's cricket and what it means for us going forward. Like, it's guaranteed fixtures. It's, I suppose, what really pushed these full-time contracts. You know what I mean? It's not, being part of the championship is huge for, I suppose, any country, but particularly for us, because we were always on the cusp of, you know, we were kind of part-time professional. There was teams ahead of us, then the gap was widening. So I think to be in this championship is huge for the context of the game here. And I think, you know, without overthinking it, it is a really important series for us, and it's really important that we put our stamp on it and show that, you know, we're not just here to take part in the championship. We absolutely can compete.
How different is it now than when you started?
So different. I mean, I was actually thinking about this the other day, more, I suppose, in terms of the visibility of the game. Like, when I was younger growing up, and I kind of entered into Irish setups when I was around 13 or 14, but I don't think I ever remember going to watch an Irish women's game or seeing them play. You know, you would hear of, you know, some of the greats like Miriam Greeley, and I suppose before even I was involved, Chillers and Isabel, but I never actually watched them play. And I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, that is absolutely nuts, because nowadays, and there's so many young girls, even in Pembroke, I was chatting to a couple of them the other day, it's so accessible. And I think for me, that's the biggest change. It's the accessibility, I suppose. And then that has a direct impact on so many things, including, you know, participation levels. But I think that's probably the biggest thing. Obviously, the professionalism, you know, has increased massively. But I think that kind of happens over time, regardless of, you know, that's women's sport. That's not just in cricket. That's happened, you know, across the board in women's sport. But that's one of the big things that kind of stands out for me.
What I love about now is that there's such clear pathways. So, you know, you're talking about the girls that you spoke to last week, and, you know, they're seeing you and they actually know how to get there, to get to where you are, where for such a long time it was impossible to see a pathway to international level sport, to professional women's sport, to even provincial level sport for young girls.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the Super Series has evolved and improved so much over the last couple of years. And I think that's really contributed to, I suppose, that clear pathway. And for a long time, you know, Super Series was there, but it was kind of more of a tick box exercise. And really, you know, club cricket was kind of the most important thing. And then the next step was international. But I think that Super Series competition has improved so much over the last couple of years. It really is now that stepping stone for the next level.
The Scorchers are in good form.
They are, yes.
Brilliant. Go on.
No, I was just saying, no, it's brilliant. And look, I think obviously we've got, you know, a phenomenal leader in Gabby, and she's an unbelievable player. But I think what was really nice as well was that we were, you know, Gabby missed those first few games when she was away with fair break. And I think it was really pleasing to see that we still got over the line and won that game without her.
I was actually going to bring up Gabby there. Just, I mean, she's in great form herself, which is really good timing, just given the fact that these games are here now and that she's going to be captaining the side.
Absolutely. And, you know, Gabby she's an unbelievable player. And I think she, you know, everyone knew that she was something special when she came onto the scene years ago. But I think, you know, she's only 21. And even over the last 2 years, how much her game has matured, you know, how clear she is on what she's trying to do, it's incredible. And I think, you know, we thought she was in form last season, and then she's come in this season and scored a 50 and 100 already in Super Series. So I think for Gabby, you know, the only way is up. I think she really is still continuing to improve, and it's amazing to see.
Yeah, it must be, like, because it's such a rare thing, I think, in sport anyway, that people actually fulfill their potential, you know, because it's a really hard thing to do. And I'll always go back to, I interviewed Colm Cooper from Kerry before, and he's 5 All-Irelands, like loads of All-Stars. And I asked him what was his greatest success in sport, and it was fulfilling his potential, which I just think is an amazing answer, because it's such a hard thing to do. But you can actually really just see her on the way to doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, particularly these full-time contracts for a lot of those younger girls, not just Gabby, I think it allows them to do that. And, you know, there's so many, I suppose, external factors that can limit you. But I think hopefully these contracts now really give those girls the opportunity to do that. And you can, like, you can see the improvements already, even within a couple of months. But no, yeah, I think Gabby is, she's, even though she's only 21, I think it's, she has so much still to give and so much to, like, I genuinely believe she could be one of the best in the world.
Oh, that's amazing. And what about leadership? What kind of a captain do you think she's going to be?
Do you know what? I think, so Gabs is, she's been Dell's vice captain now for about a year. And I think she's obviously led the Scorchers for 2 years now, and she's done a really good job with them. I think Gabs, you know, she's very open about the fact that she's only 21 and she has a lot to learn. But I think that this will be a challenge for her in terms of, you know, trying to manage her own game and her own performances as well as captaining. But I've no doubt that she will do an incredible job. You know, she's got a good cricket brain. She's really good friends with, you know, the team. People respect her. And I think that's kind of half the battle when you're captaining. So I think, you know, I've no doubt that she's going to do an incredible job.
We're seeing improvements in so many players over the last while, and obviously the professionalism is playing an impact on that as well. But is Ed Joyce having a huge influence, do you find, in the camp?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Ed obviously played, you know, high-level cricket for years, and he was an unbelievable player. And I think, as I mentioned with Gabby, like, respect is a huge thing. So he does have the respect of the group in terms of, you know, what he's telling people. He's a very, very good batting coach, which we probably haven't, you know, really experienced as a group before. And I think you can definitely see the improvements in our batting. I know myself, I've gained huge amount of knowledge from him. And I suppose I've really been able to figure out, you know, my own game plan and move forward. So I absolutely, no doubt, you know, he's an excellent batting coach. And I think that can be seen, you know, across the group.
Yeah, for sure. And like you mentioned yourself there, and that is quite obvious. Are you putting the kind of the evolution of that and the development of your batting down to Ed, or is it a bit of practice as well?
I think, you know, there's absolutely no doubt Ed has had a huge influence on that in terms of just helping me be very clear about what my game plan is. And I did quite a lot of technical work with him over a 2 year period, kind of just, you know, just before COVID and throughout COVID. And that's 100%, you know, added to, I suppose, my evolution. And then I suppose the other thing is just getting older. You know, I'm 30 now. You know, the mental side of the game would have held me back for a very long time. I probably always had quite a lot of potential, you know, skills based, but I really struggled on the mental side. And I think, you know, as you grow up and as you get older, you kind of start to realize, you know, cricket isn't the most important thing and that it's not the be all and end all. And I think that all helps and contributes to you, I suppose, being able to perform, you know, more consistently.
Tell me a bit more about the mental side of it that was holding you back a little bit there. Was it you were putting yourself under too much pressure?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I think, you know, cricket's the best sport, but also the most horrendous sport at times, in that, you know, you can be on top of the world one day and then the next day you might get a duck and you feel like you're the worst player in the world. So I think it is quite a battle for most people. And I suppose the trick is trying to stay consistent and not read too much into the highs or the lows. I think when I was younger, I really struggled, I suppose, from a performance anxiety perspective as well. I really cared what people thought about me. I felt like I was always fighting for a spot on the team, and I just had, you know, really no confidence at all. And I think, you know, I can be very honest and say I still feel like that at 30, but I now know how to manage those feelings. And I now know how to, you know, talk myself out of that and go, well, actually, that's not true, you know, and here's the proof of that. So I think I think the nature of the game is really tough. And I think anyone who says that they haven't struggled with the mental side of cricket before is probably lying. But I think, you know, as you get older, you just learn how to, I suppose, combat those nerves and that anxiety.
I think that's probably in life as well, you know, like that's so relatable. Did you work with somebody or did you just figure it out as you matured as a person?
Yeah, no, I worked with, so we have a really good sports psychologist, Anne-Marie Kennedy. And prior to her, I was working with a girl out at the Institute of Sport. And, you know, I suppose, and as you said, very relatable. It wasn't just cricket. I suppose that anxiety was feeding into general life as well. And I think that was a big kind of revelation for me. I used to think, oh, you know, I'm just a mentally weak player. have anxiety, and that was kind of my identity in the game. But actually realizing that, you know, cricket was maybe triggering anxiety in other areas of my life and stuff. So I did a lot of work with, you know, a couple of people, and I think it's so important as well, because there is such a stigma around it, and there is such a, particularly in cricket, you can be labelled as, you know, a mentally weak player or you're not resilient. But actually, that's not it at all. You just need the right resources, and you just need to understand what's happening. Do you know what I mean? For you to be able to deal with it.
That's amazing, isn't it? Because for so long, it was taboo. You know, as you said, you were just branded mentally weak, or you were put into a box that you couldn't perform on the big day or whatever. But it just shows that if you have the right tools, that anything is possible.
Absolutely. And I think it's really exciting as well. Like, we have a, you know, a players association now who have brought in, I suppose, Inspire, who are, you know, a great service for anyone who's looking to, I suppose, utilize them. And I think that's the biggest thing. When I was that age, I never had access to any of those things. And if I wanted to, you know, see someone or talk to someone, I had to actively go and sort that out. And almost that kind of makes it more difficult, because you think, oh, well, I'm the only person who needs this, and I'm the only person who, you know, who has a problem. Whereas now we're saying, you know, as a players association, we're saying, oh, look, we have this body Inspire, and it's totally normal. And that's not just in, I suppose, cricket, like even in my own workplace, there's the same facilities. So I think just the normality around it now and the access to it, I think, is really important. And I think we're really going to see the benefit of that.
Yeah, it's kind of well-being of the whole self, which is so important. So you do have these games coming up, and unfortunately you don't have the pick of the squad that you would like. How difficult is that, just kind of knowing that you're not really at full strength?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's no point, I suppose, you know, hiding from the fact that we are missing eight players. And I think regardless of how much depth you have as a country or a squad, that's going to impact you. And I think, you know, a lot of the players we're missing as well would be experienced players. And I suppose some of the players that will be in our starting 11. So, you know, there's no doubt that people are thinking about it, and it's kind of in the back of your mind. But I suppose all you can do is really face the challenge you have ahead of you. And, you know, we've got a great squad. We have so much more depth than we used to have. You know, we have a performance squad of 20 people now. So I think this is going to be a really great opportunity for, I suppose, a lot of girls who maybe wouldn't have gotten that opportunity if we had a full strength side. And I think, you know, I think we just have to trust, you know, each other, that we're all ready to perform at that level, and that we can all do a job. And I think that's probably the most important thing, is just belief in each other, I suppose, going into this series, because it can be tough when you're missing some of your stronger players.
So with all that in mind, then, what are the goals for the series?
I think, to be honest, so it's been quite a long time since we've played, I suppose, better opposition. Do you know what I mean? Over the last few years, we've played a lot of Hollands and Scotlands and qualifying tournaments and things like that. So I think, like, it's really exciting in some ways, because we'll get to see where we are in terms of some of those higher ranked countries. I think the goal really is to focus on what we're trying to do. Go into this series, we've all worked so hard individually in our own games. And I think going into this series and kind of leaving no stone unturned, you know, doing the things that you're practicing at training, being brave, do you know what I mean? Whether that's when you're batting, do you know what I mean? If I'm working on something, being able to actually execute that in a high pressure game. It's the same with the bowling front. So I think the focus is probably on us and making sure that we execute what we're trying to do, and we don't really leave any stone unturned. And I think obviously we'll do our analysis of South Africa, and you've got to be specific with your opposition. But I think the focus will really be on, you know, on our own games and our own processes.
And for yourself then as well, just like, given the fact that there are players coming in that might not have had the opportunity if it wasn't for injuries, illnesses, exams, all that sort of stuff, like, how important is your leadership going to be?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it is really important. And I sometimes still look at myself as not a leader in the group, and, you know, still a fringe player, which I'm not. So I think it's really important. I suppose if you look at the makeup of the squad that we have, there's myself and Mary and Gabby. And obviously Arlene has now come into the team, and that's another person over the age of 27. So it's nice to have, I suppose, another person around our age. But I think it's hugely important. And I also think as well, you know, people like Leah Paul, you know, she's only 22 and she's only been around a couple of years, but she is now an established player in the team. And I think, you know, her leadership as well. So there's a core group of us there that will really have to kind of step up and make sure that we're leading the way.
And even just to finish up as well, like just having this at home now, and it does feel like there's an awful lot more focus on it, more awareness and more of a spotlight just for the evolution and the development of the game. It must be great to see that too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's so exciting. And even I was driving through Balls Bridge there the other day and I saw posters up. And again, that's something you wouldn't have seen even when we played a home series in 2019. So I think, you know, that's incredible. And, you know, even in Pembroke, I suppose, on Friday, there's a group of young girls who are going to be, you know, mascots with us. And I think all of those small things just show how far the game has come. And don't get me wrong, we still have a really long way to go. But I think it's so exciting to see, you know, the steps that we have taken and I suppose the potential of where we can go.
Now, it was great to hear from Shauna there before she headed in to camp ahead of this series. Isabel, I didn't know too much about her before I had a chat with her, but I just got such a brilliant insight into the journey that she's been on as a cricketer. And it was so revealing just to hear her talking about the mental side of the game and how she struggled with it. And her openness was so refreshing because it's not something that people talk about very often. You know, it's almost taboo. But to hear her say that, you know, she felt herself that she was a mentally weak player, and it was purely because she was never given the tools to deal with that. And I think maybe a lot of that is because with women's sport, there wasn't maybe the access to professionals of, you know, sports psychologists and that. But now that she's had it and has able to work on what she needed to, she feels like she's turned a massive corner.
Yeah, she's had a very long journey within Irish cricket. And, you know, it is possibly part to do with not having the access to the professionals. But I actually think one of the big problems that we have in women's sport is you jump so quickly without having like the training ground, if that makes sense. So, you know, in men's sport, when you get to, by the time you get to the international level, you've gone through all these levels of, you know, quite small jumps into different teams and getting selected for higher honours. And that's all part of your training with people of your own age that are at your own level, where you learn the skills that you need to then go forward. And if you learn those skills, that's one of the reasons why you're brought forward. We just don't have that in women's sport yet. It's a relatively new in terms of the elite level especially. So you don't learn those skills that you need because it hasn't been, you don't have the long kind of phase between being a really talented youngster who has the, you know, the physical skills or capabilities to then suddenly being in an international setup. So I really think that's the issue for a lot of players when they jump, and it only really comes to the fore after a couple of years, because it is mentally very, very tough. And cricket in particular is, you know, I don't play obviously a lot of other sports, but I can only compare it to maybe hockey. Mentally, cricket is just, you feel like you're on your own if things aren't going well, because it's just you out in the middle with the bat, or it's just you with the ball, or it's just you that drops the catch. So yeah, the mental side is huge. And for me, I think what helped me was having a twin sister in the team, but also playing a lot of men's cricket where you actually, you know, learn those skills because you're playing more cricket and you're playing a lot more longer form cricket. And most of the girls don't get that opportunity for whatever reason. So, you know, Sean has kind of gone through it on the international stage, and that's the toughest place for it to happen. You know, you're abroad in, you know, tough places to play. So brilliant for her that she's come out the other side, and also that she's speaking about it, because it enables other people to feel like it's normal if they're going through it. And players in the team maybe can talk to her or ask her what they need to do maybe to get past whatever issues they have. So she can be a mentor in that way.
Yeah, for sure. She's done a lot of people a great service just by talking about it, because sometimes it just comes down to education and to knowing, you know, what you need to do, where you need to go, and to understand as well that there are ways to make things better, to help and to help mental performance, and that ultimately helps the game. Her game, though, as well, Andrew, has really improved, and she credits Ed Joyce with a lot of that, just the work, the technical side of the game that he helped her with.
Yeah, I think last summer was a real breakthrough year for Shauna in international cricket. The two home series against Scotland and the Netherlands, she was really good in. She looked to have a clear plan when she came into the middle, which was great to see. She sweeps the ball so well against spin, which is a fantastic asset to have. And I think she looked a lot more composed at the crease, and she was able to develop those starts into bigger scores. And I think that's the key. You're trying to build those 20s into 40s, then 40s into 60s. And I think over the last 18 months as well, we've seen her probably take more responsibility on in that scorcher's middle order in Super Series cricket as well. Looking back at that first game of the year out in North County where she took her side over the line, was just a testament to that. I'm not sure the Shaun of two or three seasons ago would have done that. So I think she's constantly improving, and these sort of series this summer are a fantastic chance for her to go and prove that again.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing how she gets on. And just the team in general this summer, is it like, what should the expectation be?
It's very hard to tell. I mean, I think that what they'll be trying to do is be as close as they can to South Africa. You know, there's no reason why if you take a few early wickets, you can't turn them over as well. I think bowling first maybe would be a good idea. Jay Maguire has been bowling absolutely brilliantly with the new ball. We saw her down in Oak Hill just bowl complete specky against Rebecca Stokel to get her out. So if she can do that, you know, against their top players, they have a lot of inexperience then. And then it just takes one or two batters to have a good day. So if they can put together a full performance, which is, you know, obviously the most difficult thing, then I think they'll be looking to get at least one win in the ODI series. And then T20, South Africa should be better than they are, but they somehow haven't quite put it together. I think if they can get their head around Shabnam Ismail, she's probably the fastest bowler in women's cricket in the world, they can figure out how to navigate her, then they'll be looking to win that T20 series.
Andrew?
Yeah, I think it's just trying to perform to the best of their ability. They've got South Africa, they've got Pakistan coming up later this summer as well, and that tri-series involved with Australia. I think everyone knows that the Australia games are going to be an uphill task, but those Pakistan games are a real opportunity up in Breedy as well, and I think that's where they'll be looking to potentially poach a couple of wins and to just constantly improve. There's still a very, very young squad there, an awful lot of young girls getting their first chance at international cricket or still just blossoming into the game. So I think that for all of them to get that needed more experience, I think is fantastic, and a chance for them to go and prove themselves at a different level, because you can't, you know, they've been waiting for so many years to get this sort of an international summer ahead of them, and now that they have it, I think it's a great chance for them to use it and really try and improve.
And Isabel, before we finish up on the women's series, just having HPV Studios as the title sponsor, having a title sponsor is fantastic, really.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant to see, but in particular the company that are streaming your games, that shows the confidence that you know, Heatley Techter as proprietor and HPV, the actual company, show in the women's game. You know, talking about the game with the cameramen and that kind of stuff. They really do take an interest in it. They can see how much hard work is going into the game from the players, and it just has a real feel-good feel about it, that they're willing to support it and are taking pride in that.
Yeah, they really are getting behind it and you know, kind of putting their money where their mouth is, really, by committing to it and getting involved. Andrew, you look like you are just back from a weekend in sunny Marbella, but not the case, you're in Comer.
Yeah, no, sunny north down, up north. It was a fantastic weekend, the IP20 festival up there, some really good batting display, some really good games in general, and we got sunburnt on the Saturday. We got some sun that wasn't meant to be coming, and I think we were all a little bit unprepared for it, but it was a great weekend. As I say, these T20 festivals are fantastic. The games are coming thick and fast, and the pitches up in Comber, I couldn't praise the ground staff enough. They're probably the best pitches you're going to see in the entirety of Ireland, maybe bar a few you'd see in Malahide for international cricket. These were absolutely fantastic. Short boundaries and conducive to really good T20 cricket.
Yeah, it does seem like it was a brilliant weekend. The Munster Reds again, Isabel, they are just really surprising everybody. 3 wins from 3, fine performances all round and some superb batting displays.
Yeah, well, you don't have to look further than that first game against the Leinster Lightning. They would have thought that 188 Leinster, that it was a decent score. 2 wickets early on for Jack Carty. They think they're in the driver's seat, but that middle and lower order for the Munster Reds doing it again and showing their value. Brilliant performances from Gareth Delaney and Tyrone Kane, and then Kevin O'Brien. He's the man you want coming in that situation. He blasted it around along with Curtis Camfer, finished it off. So they just seem to have found a really good balance to their team. you know, good ingredients where they have their players, and it just seems like they keep coming at you. And they won that game at a canter, over 5 hours left, and showed where they were, what their intent was for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, they're really, really, they've been performing brilliantly for sure. And as you said, some of the big names there are really impressing as well. So of the other teams then, Andrew, because you did see them all, who has impressed you and who's the most work to do?
Yeah, well, I suppose the Leinster Lightning will be disappointed with their weekend. Only one win from three for them. They won on the last day against the Northern Knights, but they kind of threw away a winning position against the Northwest Warriors on the Saturday. I think by their own admission, I was talking to George Dockrell and Simi Singh in separate interviews, and both of them kind of said, I was trying to dress it up quite nicely, that, you know, it was a game they could have won, and they both kind of corrected me and said a game they should have won. So they'll be disappointed by that. That being said, they're a team that are kind of coming back together now that they're getting the likes of Josh Little, David O'Halloran's coming back to fitness as well. So they're going to be kind of reinstated in those bowling stocks. That being said, some good young performances from some of their young bowlers. Gavin Hoey, I thought, bowled superbly. He took a fair few wickets on the weekend, bowling his leg spin, and Mike O'Reilly was very good as well. Keeper up to the stumps in the middle overs, never easy, but he performed very nicely as well. Their batting is so good, we know that, but they'll be slightly disappointed and be looking to improve up in Breedie. As for the Northwest, they're the home side up in Breedie in a couple of weekends' time. And they were good. As I say, they wrestled a winning performance against the Leinster Lightning in a game they probably shouldn't have won, which was more credit to them. They're a team that just won't go away. They're like a dog nipping at your heels. You know, they just won't go away. And I think that's epitomised by their captain, Andy McBrien. He's one of the most likeable cricketers in the entirety of Ireland, the way he plays and approaches the game, and the fact that their bowling stock is so good. Graham Hume, Conor Alford, two new men that have got recent Cricket Ireland contracts as well, so well done to them. Conor Alford was probably the standout new performer throughout the whole weekend. A young lad from Breedie, bowls very quick, in the mould of Craig Young, Boyd Rankin, two of Ireland's best fast bowlers over the last number of years, so he's certainly one to keep an eye on.
What about you, Isabel? What did you make of it in its entirety the weekend?
It was great to see just different people coming to the fore. One other player, he's got a contract at Cricket Ireland's few on hand, and I can see why. He's just so versatile. Finished off, won the games for the Munster Reds. He's done well with ball in hand in both the 50-over and T20 series. And I'm delighted, I have to say, for Graham Hume as well. He's been at the forefront for a couple of years with the new ball. He seems to be such a difficult character to get away. So those two doing brilliantly to get. And as Andrew said, Conor Alford was brilliant over the weekend. So some new players coming to the fore, which we always like to see. And nice to see a different team on top. We've seen a lot of Leinster Lightning, and obviously the Northwest Warriors won last year at the T20. Good to see a different team coming to the fore and putting it to the others.
Andrew, we really should mention Paul Sterling as well, 100 on debut for Warwickshire in the Vitality Blast in England.
Yeah, he just continues to amaze, Paul Sterling, really. He's a fantastic cricketer. Look, everyone knows that at this stage, but the fact that he can go around the world in all these different competitions and can strike the ball as cleanly as he does. I think he took a single over for 34, five sixes, and I think he's very disappointed to only have hit a boundary off the last ball. So it just goes to show the calibre of player he is, and I suppose when he plays for Ireland, it just goes to show how good he is in a world context. We're not just dealing with somebody that's good for Irish standards, but we're dealing with somebody that's really one of the top 10 batters in the world in T20 cricket.
And Isabel, if the summer wasn't busy enough, we also have the cup draws. Anything catch your eye?
There's eight Leinster teams through. Good to see that there's a couple of all Leinster draws that'll knock a couple of them out. They're huge in the Irish Senior Cup. YMCA Pembroke will be massive. YMCA again at home, they'll be delighted with that. And then Marion hosting Clontarf, those two kind of catch the eye, but it means that there's only a possible six that will go forward. The Hills will have to go down to Cork County. I think they'll think that they're on top there, and Phoenix welcoming down North Down. So that just depends on what kind of team comes down. So plenty of really exciting performances to look forward to. And Balbriggan against Instonians. Balbriggan have been very up and down, and Instonians a very strong team, so that'll be one that the visitors will want to win, along with Waringstown, who travel to Leinster.
Andrew?
Yeah, as Isabel said, those two big ties between YMM Pembroke and Clontarf and Merion are massive. All four of them are very strong Leinster clubs, and especially when they have their international players available, they'll be very interesting games. I think in the National Cup, the one that caught my eye was Strabane Railway Union Railway, the winners of the Cup the last time it was done in 2019. And I think, you know, away to Strabane's a tricky game away from home. It's a slippery place to go. They'll be well up for it up there as well. So I think that's one to really keep an eye out for on the in the National Cup side. I think Rush of a home draw as well. They're also a club that will be going very close in that competition with Neil Rock captaining them.
So thank you, Isabel and Andrew, for your opinions today. And thank you for listening to today's episode of Green Ball Podcast. And remember as well to go and get your tickets for all the home internationals. It's going to be such a busy summer of cricket. We'll be back in your feed regularly throughout the year. So the best idea is to make sure you subscribe to the channel to get the latest episode of the Green Ball Podcast.